covering the crew all season long on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Innings. Now, live from American Family Field, here's your host, Dominic Catronio.
Been a minute since I had to do a road show, and boy, did they treat us to some offense. Brewers put the hurt on the Giants today. 16-2, and it wasn't even that close. 16 unanswered in this one. Quite the night for the crew. We got split eyes right now. We got eyes on Milwaukee and Auburn down in the finale of the Auburn Regional. 3-2. Tigers lead the Panthers right now in the bottom of the sixth inning and threatening to add more. We've got an eye on this box score with Jerry Augustine. I know you've got divided attention tonight too, Augie, but to focus things on the game that we watched in Milwaukee, I mean, to score 16 runs without a single homer, it's the third most runs they've ever scored in a game without the benefit of a homer. If you're not going to hit the ball over the fence, you got to do everything else well, and that's what the Brewers did tonight.
Well, I tell you, it was a clinic at the plate for this Milwaukee ball club tonight. It just, you know, you look at the beginning, first inning, Rupert really threw the ball well at first inning. That second inning, their patience, taking the ball, taking the pitches, he was getting behind. I think the big story of this game, and especially starting at second inning when the Brewers were able to put seven runs aboard, Roop could not get ahead. He was getting behind all the hitters, and the Brewers really took advantage of it and put some good swings on the ball, scored the seven runs, and that kind of changed, put the game in perspective there. But up and down the lineup, just a great night for the offense.
I think the way that I look at tonight's game for Milwaukee, and that seven-run second inning just sort of captures everything the Brewers do so well. And the little things always seem to add up, because you know what started that big seven-run second inning, which, oh, by the way, was in response to the Giants opening the scoring in the top of the second? It all started, as it always does, with a leadoff walk. But not any leadoff walk, an ABS challenge-initiated leadoff walk. Jake Bowers using the challenge properly, flipping a strikeout to a walk to start the rally, and then it was all gangbusters from there, because the Brewers, I mean, today, partially having to do with who they were facing, 11 walks to just 6 strikeouts for the Brewers offense tonight. That's video game stuff. It's not going to happen again tomorrow, at least I don't think, but the way that I see it is it always starts with something little, and the Brewers offense, you give them an inch, they are going to take a mile.
I agree. I tell you, that whole inning, when you look at the way it transpired, you know, even down, you look at Hamilton laying down the bunt perfectly and doing the things that they had to do that inning to score the runs. And, you know, everything about this game was so good. I just, the at-bats were good. But, you know, when a pitcher's out there and he's struggling, he's not throwing strikes, he's just missing off the plate, he's getting behind a lot of hitters, and he threw a lot of pitches. I think he threw 30-some pitches that second inning. I'll tell you what, they were patient at the plate, and when you look at the final stats in this game, 8-for-18 with runners in scoring position, with 11 runners on base, that's a lot of base runners. And when you do that, you don't throw strikes, you're patient at the plate, you take what you're given, I'll tell you what, you're going to have a good night, and the Brewers definitely had that tonight.
I mean, on the heels, too, of a series that I talked about with Craig Kishon over the weekend in Houston, where the Brewers won the series, you know, just going 1-for-14 with runners in scoring position combined across the three games. But now, you look at it in today's game, we've been saying, if the Brewers get opportunities, more often than not, they're going to get the job done. They're a top three offense when it comes to runs batted in with runners in scoring position, with two out rallies, with that sort of thing. It's a very dynamic offense that makes them so dangerous, like the Giants saw firsthand tonight. And you said it, Roop just kept falling behind in this game. 1-0, 2-1, 2-0 counts, 3-1 counts. You're not going to get this team to chase. It is not their MO, and he's not a chase sort of pitcher. So what the Brewers were able to do today, I think the great at-bat, of course, is the highlight for Bryce Terang. To see him in the first inning, mind you, get a two-out double, that was breaking an 0-for-18 for him. And then to hit the triple off the wall in left center field that probably should have been caught by a more experienced center fielder, don't care, it still counts as a triple, an 8-pitch at-bat for Bryce. And both of his extra base hits going to the opposite field before he was taken off of his feet. He was not retired tonight. He got off the slump today in a big way. Bryce continues to be certainly all-star caliber second base. Going to see him get back on track today.
You know, Tom, one thing we've noticed about this ball club, and you and I have talked, and I've listened to you and Krager when you guys talk, is the adjustments that this offense has been starting to make. You know, early in the season, there's always that you got to make, you're starting to get used, you're trying to get your at-bats, getting your feet wet, and trying to figure out how you're going to make some approaches. But this offense is so interesting how you, when you face somebody, if you face the Milwaukee Brewers, you better be strike one, strike two. You better get ahead of hitters, because if you don't, they're going to make you work. They're going to make you throw a lot of pitches. And I think that's one thing I really enjoy about this ball club. Yeah, we like them to hit more home runs, but I'm going to tell you what, they put the ball in play so well, and they make adjustments. Tonight, that second inning where Roop couldn't throw strikes, they made the adjustments they had to do to score runs, and you saw it right down the rest of the game. Patient at the plate, making the guy throw strikes, hitting the ball where it's pitched, knowing what you have to do, putting the ball in play. It's been so much fun watching this ball club making those adjustments of late. It's the reason why they're scoring runs. It's the reason why they run the bases so well, because all the little things they do so well in the game of baseball, and they make those adjustments. And tonight, they made a great adjustment right away in that second inning, got 7 runs.
Now, this isn't breaking news, but let me just give you some of the numbers. This is just coming into tonight, so these will get better overnight here as well. But the Brewers, when they have an at-bat end with the batter ahead in the count, whether it be 3-1, 2-0, 2-1, whatever it may be, right? When they finish an at-bat with the batter ahead in the count, they have the best on-base percentage in baseball. When they get ahead in the count, they're getting on base more than half the time, Augie. 5-15 is their team on base when the batter is ahead in the count when the at-bat ends. I mean, it sounds like, yeah, no duh, but to be over 50%, to be over 500 for your on base when you're ahead in the count, it's a pretty simple formula. Do not let these guys get ahead of you. Otherwise, you're going to be paying for it with walks, with base hits. They're okay with not hitting homers, right? We know that. That's not breaking news. Sometimes your mistakes don't get punished like maybe other teams do, but it becomes a longer inning, and before you know it, you're at 72 pitches through 3 innings.
Yeah, just make those great adjustments. You know, what about the ball that Chirio hit for down the first baseline? What a great swing! And we talk about the great swings with Terang, and these guys getting up there swinging the bat so well. And you know, you look at this ball club. I agree with you. 50% when they're ahead in the count is just, that's amazing. That's amazing. That number, you can't even believe it, but it's true. This team, when they get ahead in the batting order, they make the adjustments, they know what they're doing, and they do it in a quick manner depending on how that pitcher is throwing to them. And no matter who you are, you better pitch it. Like I said before, you have to pitch ahead to this club because they're going to make you hurt, because they're going to make adjustments. And if you do pitch ahead, they can be aggressive. And like we saw Chirio at bat when he hit a ball down the right field line. They just put so many good swings on the ball. It's so much fun to watch. And if you win a spray shark, you put a spray shark on this offense, it's all over the ballpark. And that's what makes it really fun.
It's been a dynamic offense to watch. We'll see if we, you know, learned anything the rest of this week. Because I kind of previewed it coming into this series, saying you get these 4 against the Giants, 3 against the Rockies, 3 against the A's. Now, granted, in tough pitching environments, you know, these next 10 games for the Brewers are an opportunity that's going to be your last opportunity probably for the whole first half against teams under 500. It's not going to get any easier after these 10 games, and it's good to see them take advantage after day 1. We'll get to the phone lines on the other side of the break. Javier, I see you waiting on the line, 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620, right here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ. All right, well, we're talking good news about the Brewers, bad news about the Panthers. The slipper doesn't look like it fits. It's a 5-run inning and counting for Auburn, 7-2 Auburn, bottom of the 6th inning now, down there in Alabama. So, tough one there, but you never know. Crazy things have happened in college baseball. Welcome back with Jerry Augustine. I'm Dom Catronio. Let's get to the phone lines, 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620. Javier in Milwaukee. Javier, you're live on Brewers Extra Innings.
Hey, Dom. Hey, Augie. Great win tonight. Got a question for you. I'm not sure who had more, the Glen Hills Middle School band members on the field for the national anthem or the Brewers base runners tonight. Not sure. It's a toss-up. really, really impressive that the Brewers can win a game 2-0 and then follow that up with you know, 16-2 win like this. We should be celebrating. I feel like it's bad form to continue asking about, you know, call ups, especially on a night where Hamilton shows off the wheels. The speed is clearly the reason that he's going to be on the team all the way through the playoffs. And Renhifo got runs, RBIs, and hits tonight. So feels like bad form, but I'm curious. It's a dilemma, right? Two schools of thought, and I'm curious, you know, what you think. I know, Dom, you've been saying Jet Williams or someone else will be up by the end of June. You know, one school of thought, it ain't broke, don't fix it. The other is, you know, now while things are going well, maybe you get some runway for Jet Williams. Which one do you prefer? What, you know, what's your pick if you had a choice? Thanks, guys.
Yeah, I appreciate the call, Javier. I think the read on the situation right now, Augie, is a reminder that the Brewers are not going to call up one of those guys unless they're going to be playing every day or they feel like they're ready. And to be fair to Jet, like, you know, he's my pick to click and somebody that I've been a fan of after getting to know him a little bit more in spring training. I think that he cooled off a little bit there at the end of May. The April numbers are still pretty brutal because of how cold it was to start the year. But again, to reiterate, the Brewers aren't going to do it solely on performance at the big league level, right? If it was solely performance on the big league level, they would have already done it. The way I see it is they want whoever it is they're calling up, whether it be Lara, whether it be Pratt, whether it be Williams, whether it be anybody else, to be playing virtually every day to help out that player's development.
I agree. I think that one thing that we in this organization and that understand this organization, we're very blessed to have Rick Sweet in AAA. Here's a guy who's been around. He's probably he's going to be win more games than any minor league manager in the history of the game. But even more than that, he's a good baseball man. He understands what baseball is all about, what it takes to play in the big leagues. He's been around so long. And I mean, you look at the achievements that he has. He's had the players that he's had. He has sent to the big leagues. I think having him just understand, knowing personalities, let these guys know when the time comes when he feels that Jet or whomever it is comes to the big leagues, he's going to let the Brewers know. And I know speaking to him in fantasy camp, he was saying, you know, that's one of the unique things about the job that I have in AAA. I get to learn these kids. I get to learn the way they play, what they do when they're up and when they do when they're down, how they react to situations. And I get that. I take that from the AAA and I try to transform it into what a major league player has to do. And I think that's one thing that Rick does really well. I think when the time comes, I agree with you. There's some players down there that can play and help this ball club, but I think they're going to try to do it when the time is right. This club is playing so well. Everybody's doing well. But if they can make this team better as we go along, there's no doubt the Brewers will do that.
Yep, and I think that the way that the Brewers operate on a minor league level, again, is that make sure that every little thing is right so that when they come to the big leagues, there is no shock, there is nothing that catches them by surprise. Absolutely. And you're right about Rick Sweet, man. He's best in the business. There's a reason he's been doing it for this long. He's the second most winningest manager in minor league baseball history. He is certainly a one-of-one character in the minor leagues. That's our buy or sell. It's brought to you by Tony Wendorf and Associates, one of the top real estate teams in Wisconsin, empowered by Keller Williams. If you're thinking to buy or sell a home, you should trust Tony Wendorf and Associates. Step into the plate with a winning team behind you at wendorfteam.kw.com. They bring faith, family, and a red carpet experience to every home deal with our friends at Tony Wendorf and Associates. You know, I said we're going to talk pitching this segment. We end up talking minor leagues, but hey, I want to give you some numbers here. We'll talk pitching in the next segment. I want to give you some numbers here that I shared here at the start of our program. So now the Brewers threw 57 games, 15 games above 500, new high watermark. 36-21 is tied for the best record through this many games in franchise history. An 88-run differential, positive 88-run differential, best in franchise history through 57 games. A 3.15 team ERA, best in franchise history through 57 games. People thought I was silly when I said this team was better than last year's team leaving spring training, and here we are with the numbers to prove it 57 games in.
Yeah, this team is just doing all the things, you know, and it all starts with the good pitching that they have, you know. We look at the starting rotation with the young guys, the way they have gone out and performed and the way they go out and they pitch ahead and they pitch with confidence. It's just so much fun watching these guys each and every day go go out and, you know, you see Drouin getting the opportunity that I think he was a little aggressive early in the game and kind of overthrowing maybe a little bit at times, but he threw the ball very well tonight. Patrick, they had an opportunity tonight. I thought tonight was a great night for this ball club because with a four-game series and what they got coming up, you know, it got kept the bullpen in order, so if they need it. But I'll tell you what, whether it's starting rotation or bullpen, they're throwing the ball very well. But it's this team, what they do. They use their speed to help them win ball games. They play good, solid defense. And when you put all these things together, and it's just a culmination of things that make this team much better. And I agree with you. When you said early in the season, you said this is possibly could be a better team. I looked at that starting pitching. I say, boy, we're going to be awful young. Let's just wait a little while. But you were right. This team has really stepped up, and they stepped up because they play all three phases very well.
And imagine when they start hitting home runs.
Yeah, that's coming too. And it's just amazing. It's amazing that their adjustments, Dom, and I think you agree with me, and I agree with you that their adjustments at the plate has just been so good. You have guys having such great years and coming up and doing that top part of their order is an order that you have to be reckoned with. And, you know, you got so many guys coming up and doing a good job. That's what you need to be successful. You need guys to step up, and you're starting to see that. And you're seeing Frelick starting to swing the bat a little bit better than he was earlier in the season. So when you got those guys going up and swinging the bat like they are, and you take Jake Bowers and you see what he's done to this ball club, and Vaughn's starting to swing the bat good, I mean, this is something special that we got in front of us. It's going to be interesting to see how it all works out.
Yeah, it's a fun offense, and it's easy to talk about it when they score 16 runs, but it's easy to overlook the pitching, keeping it to two runs, right? The Shane Drouin, you mentioned him already. The bullpen got some key work in. You give some rest to some leverage guys in the middle of this 13 in a row. It's very important right now for the crew to do so. So now we'll talk about the pitching on the other side of the break here on 620 WTMJ. Welcome back. I'm Dom Catronio. A few texts here. With Jerry Augustine. This one from Chef Ed. I stand corrected by Yelich. He had a great game tonight. Yep, appreciate that, Ed. This one, Alex from Oshkosh. Blowout win for the crew. Two new season highs. Let's get another one tomorrow. From Mark, too bad Drouin wasn't left in long enough to earn a win. What was your impression of this outing, giving up two runs, even though when you're used to being out of the bullpen instead of being a starter? And the bats finally came back to life from Mark. So appreciate that, Mark, as well. So I think the way that I look at Shane Drouin today, Augie, it was a step in the direction saying, hey, let's start looking at this guy as a starter more seriously, because Woodruff's probably not back for another week at least. You know, he's going to throw another bullpen later this week, a three-up bullpen. Then they'll decide what needs to happen between that and the next time he needs to get activated. Quinn Priester's not necessarily on the radar right now, and Chad Patrick only threw one inning out of the bullpen today. So, I mean, I'm looking at the tea leaves here, and I'm saying, hey, we talked about it on Saturday after Brandon Sproat did not pitch well, and Pat Murphy agreed as such. Shane Drouin gets a four-inning opportunity today, delivers. Maybe the next time he gets a five opportunity to continue to re-stretch him out, because I'll go ahead and put that feeler out there, just lob that out there, Augie. They might be trying to stretch Shane Drouin out to keep the spot in the rotation if they need to put Brandon Sproat in a different spot to get some more seasoning.
Yeah, I really like the way Drouin throws pitches the ball. He's aggressive in the strike zone. He's got quality pitches. He's going to go right after you. I thought today he got the opportunity, and maybe a little bit at times he looked like he was overthrowing a little bit, but I think once you get in that situation where you can go in a regular routine and get a start, I think that would really help him a lot, where he can get that in-between start routine that you need to have as a starter. I like what that comment about what you were talking about, giving him that opportunity to see where you can take him, because he's definitely proven that, you know, he's the kind of guy he can get himself in trouble, get himself out of it. He can make quality pitches when he has to. He has good breaking ball. His fastball, he can throw to all spots. I really like that opportunity of giving him that chance to be one of the starters, because he's been throwing the ball so well out of the bullpen, and he's one of those guys that's aggressive. And you get those guys that are aggressive in the strike zone, they can sometimes come and become a really good starter for you, and I think that's what Drouin does for the Brewers.
When I think with Drouin, what makes him so dynamic, and another, you know, pat myself on the back opportunity here, because I said when that trade went down, I didn't dislike Kyle Harrison by any stretch of the imagination. The Brewers are going to make it work, and they certainly have to this point. But I said at the moment of that trade, I said, you know what? after watching video and reading stats and talking to some scouts about Drouin, this is going to be the dude. You're like, wait, he was in that deal as well? He was in the same trade that got Kyle Harrison because Kyle Harrison was going to be the headliner? And we're already seeing the benefits of that so far for Shane Drouin, who's really essentially enjoying his rookie year. Again, his first 31 innings in the show, he's got 33 strikeouts and a 2.87 ERA, and that's even with the blip of his first big league start back at Fenway on a 40-degree day in which he had four walks. By the way, he had four walks on that first start. He's had six in the other almost 30 innings since then, right? So proving that that was an anomaly that first day in Boston. I am loving what we're seeing from Shane Drouin. It really even goes back to that great outing when he came in relief of Sproat against the Cubs back on the 18th. He went 4 1/3 shutout. He earned the long-distance win out of the bullpen with five punch in that game. I see swing and miss. I see a lefty that has some 95 touching 96. I see a full fleshed out arsenal. And sometimes, Augie, I think, you know, you can understand this in a saying that, you know, I'm not trying to take anything away from Brandon Sproat, but he's a highly touted prospect. A lot of people have a lot riding on saying that Brandon Sproat is going to be a very good pitcher, and I believe he will be one day. Sometimes it's the guys underneath the radar that have had some injury history that the Brewers like and see something and takes the work and runs with it. Shane Drouin deserves as many flowers as anybody on this pitching staff right now for being malleable and being a chameleon in all these roles that he's been in so far.
Yeah, that's that versatility when you talk about this bullpen, this young pitching staff that you have. You got that versatility. You allow a guy like Drouin to go in and start a game. You know, the one thing I really appreciate, I listen a lot of times when these guys give interviews and the way they talk about it. And when you listen to Drouin talk about it, he talks about being able to be efficient, and he talks about the ability to execute what he needs to do in a situation. And I really like that, is getting these things, understanding what you have to do to be successful is so important. There's no call. Sproul's going to be a great pitcher. He's got all the qualities, but there's sometimes when you get there, there's that educational process where you have to find out what do you do with your pitches? How do you use them efficiently? What sequences are the best for you? And how are you going to get certain guys out in certain situations? Drouin seems like he has a really good idea, saying, you know what? I understand what I have to do to get hitters out. I know what the sequences are. Now, my job is to go in and pitch to those sequences and execute those pitches. I think he does that really, really well. And he's the kind of guy, like you said, he'll give you a 92, 93, but he can also give you a 95, 96, and he can locate his breaking ball. And that's pretty nice to see when you add that all together, you get on the mound, you go out and perform. I think he does really a nice job at it.
Yeah, the Brewers have not announced starters for the last two games of this series, but I imagine you're probably going to see Shane Drouin make another start either in Colorado or in Las Vegas against the A's, because he has certainly earned it once again, and depending on what the Brewers do with their bullpen. Remember, Jared Koenig's on his way back. Rob Sestrizny just came back, so they will have a plethora of lefties once again in that bullpen when Jared Koenig returns, which will take the place if Shane Drouin moves to the starting rotation. The other thing that I just wanted to point out from this week, Augie, as you know, I'm in Philadelphia right now doing a hotel room show once again, as I'm on assignment with TBS tomorrow watching Padres Phils. And, you know, all anybody's probably going to ask me tomorrow is, you know, Christopher Sanchez is going to win National League Pitcher of the Month for May, right? Like, everyone's going to try to gloat that in my face. I'm like, hey, man, do we realize how many categories Jacob Mizrowski was in first place in for the month of May? I know where your vote is. You know where my vote is. We could be in for an all-time Pitcher of the Month ballot by the end of this week.
Yeah, you know, what a phenomenal month you have. You talk about special things that happen, what special pitchers do, and what Miz did this month is just so special. You know, but the one thing you think about what his educations are, his educational process and being a pitching. I think he just goes out and pitches. I think he understands that, you know what, this month could be a tough month where you do what he did and he may not get it. But I don't think that affects him. I think he just says, you know what, my next game is my next game. I want to do well, and I'm going to go out and pitch the best I can. But I agree with you. When you look at what he did this month, how many times in baseball has that been done? Probably hardly ever. And to see what he has done, the way he's done on a consistent basis from game to game and been dominant the way he is, goes out and he dominates with the fastball one game, comes back the next game and dominates with his secondary pitches. That is so neat to see that is an educational process of this young man becoming a complete pitcher. And I know someone asked me, what is the one thing that he needs to be a good quality pitcher? And someone said, well, he needs a changeup. We can remember a couple games ago, he didn't even throw a changeup until the fifth inning. He spot on to it right where he needs to. This is a young man that wants to be the best, is going to be the best, because he's going out and learning what he has to do to be the best. And this month was just fantastic. I hope he gets it. He had a great month, but it's going to be interesting to see how the vote goes.
Yeah, his next start will probably be Friday in Denver against the Rockies. And just by the way, just to list the stats, led the month of May for National League pitchers in strikeouts, batting average, whip, on-base percentage, slugging percentage, OPS against, hits per nine, strikeouts per nine, strikeout percentage, strikeout minus walk percentage, wins, ERA, he was second, K's divided by walks, he was second, only behind Christopher Sanchez. So, but Christopher Sanchez didn't allow a run, so it's going to be nuts. It's going to be nuts to see what happens this week. Jerry Augustine, appreciate you. I will talk to you again on Wednesday. You'll be with Bob Brainerd tomorrow. Appreciate you as always. And I don't know about the Panthers, if they got a miracle in them, but they got six outs to do something crazy.
Well, I'll tell you what they've done, you never know in the game of baseball. They had, as long as they got an opportunity to swing the bat, you never know what can happen. But I'm so proud of this ball club of what they do. I call it Panther personality. They have it. I had the honor of coaching there, and it's really nice to see what this young team has done. So they may not get it tonight, but you know, it's not over yet.
What an experience for them. They're upset, or they're down 7-2, bottom of the seventh inning right now, as the Marathon Auburn Regional is nearing its conclusion. But Augie, appreciate you as always. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, we'll talk to you on Wednesday.
All right, that was our quick Who's Hot, Who's Cold. It's brought to you by Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Wisconsin homeowners, are you thinking about a new cooling system? Sider makes it easy. You can get a virtual quote in under 10 minutes, and you can do it right from home with short or long-term financing options. Call or visit Sider.com, Sider.com today. Families helping families since 1912. We'll hear from one of the guys who's hot. How about David Hamilton? Three hits today. Did not strike out. Three runs scored as well from the bottom of the order. David Hamilton joins the show next on 620 WTMJ. Player of the game is tough given there are so many options. 16-2, Brewers defeat the Giants. I'm Dom Catronio. 18 hits. You could say Jake Bowers was starting that rally. Jake didn't have a hit, but he drew four walks. Scored one run. Yelly 3-for-5. Sal had a pair of doubles. Terang 2-for-2, didn't get retired. I think he's a good candidate. Player of the game is brought to you by International Autos Group. Right now, you can save up to $15,000 on select in-stock models. Visit iamilwaukee.com, where you can drive into summer in style. International Autos, where ordinary needs to be extraordinary. Before we hear David Hamilton, let's hear from Doug and Baraboo. Doug, you're live on Brewers Extra Innings.
Hey, good evening, Dom. Say one more thing on Miz. I don't know if you noticed yesterday after the fifth inning when he got that strikeout, he didn't right away realize it was, or it appeared that he didn't realize it. There was three outs, and when he came off the mound and was ready to pitch again, and then all of a sudden realized that, whoa, there's three outs. And he had that smile on his face like, oh, yeah, I kind of make a mistake. But you know what? Besides all his physical attributes, to me, that showed that, hey, the guy is, his head's where it's supposed to be, and he's just basically a normal guy. And we hope that he keeps it that way. I had a question on the grounds conditions at that ballpark yesterday. From like Friday night on, it looked like they were diving back first base and the field and the dirt. They looked like they were diving into mud, and then Saturday. And then finally on Sunday, the boys were having a problem with that mound, with their footing and so on and so forth. What the heck are they using for ground there? And why was that? Why did that look so bad?
I think it's a combination of Houston being virtually closed all day. Human environment, obviously. It's a, you know, multi-purpose infield where, you know, you soak it, you crank the air conditioning, it gets a little muddy. That's been a problem at Daikin Park for years. And honestly, where Miz is striding, it's so much longer than anybody else that I can understand why the dirt's a little loose. There's not as much clay there, but now teams are on notice. They understand that they got to be ready when the 7-foot 8-inch extension is coming to town with Jacob Mizorowski and all the zone that he was in when he forgets how many outs there are in a good way for all of his strikeouts. Appreciate the call there, Doug. But let's hear from David Hamilton. He spoke with the guys on the radio crew after today's 16-2 win, including three hits for himself.
David, thanks so much for sticking around to chat with us. Man, when you fall behind 2-0 in the top of the second inning, you figure, all right, this game might be a grind. But then to score 16 unanswered runs tonight, how did that feel to be a part of this game?
I mean, it was fun. You know, we got down 2-0, and, I mean, I feel like, you know, you got to score runs anyway to win the game. So, you know, nothing really changes for us, you know. Had that good, what was it, the second, third inning, and just kept that momentum rolling.
7 runs in that second inning. You sent 10 batters to the plate. You had another bunt hit right in the middle of that rally in which 6 consecutive batters reached in that stretch. Your bunt hit was part of it. David, that bunt has become such an important part of your game this year, and I know that you've talked to us about the fact that it really wasn't prior to coming back to the Brewers this season. Mm-hmm. Tell us about how hard you've worked on it, if you would, and how that's changed the way that your offensive game has kind of played its way out.
Yeah, it started in spring, just talking to Murph. You know, he wanted me to get on bases as much as I could, and, you know, I think bunting is a way to do that. You know, I got good speed. If I could just get it in a decent spot, you know, got a good chance to be safe. And, you know, if not, move the runner, you know. I think that's just the main thing.
David Hamilton goes 3-for-5 tonight. Later on, you had a single and a double, swinging the bat fully in this 16-2 Brewers win. I got to ask you about the vibes. This is a team that's now won 18 of 23 games. That's a long stretch to win a lot of ball games. How does it feel to come to the clubhouse each and every day during this streak?
Man, it feels good. It's fun. You know, every day coming to the park with this group of guys. The vibes are great. You know, every day is it's a blast.
Well, it's just the first of 4 games in this homestand and this series against San Francisco, but it's a great way to start it off, no doubt. 16 runs, 18 hits, you're a big part of it. But I do want to finish out by asking you about the highlight that we just played, the defensive catch, sprinting out into shallow center field and reaching over your shoulder. Take us through that play, if you would, David.
You know, I just saw it go up. Off the bat, I thought I had a chance. So, you know, I was just running full speed, put the head down, and, you know, look back up, and It was close to me, reached for it, and caught it.
You've played some great defense, too, wherever you've played on the infield over this last week or so. Do you feel more comfortable out there right now?
I do, yeah. Definitely getting there. Not where I want to be yet, but, you know, I think it's the routine plays that I got to, you know, I guess focus on a little bit more. But, yeah, no, I'm feeling good.
That's great stuff from David Hamilton. 3 hits today, including a bunt. Some good defense as well. How about the manager? He's up next, and then highlights all 16 runs. I'm just kidding. We'll hear from Murph, and then highlights after this on 620 WTMJ. Brewers win, Brewers win, Brewers win. How about it? Good stuff right now. A lot of the NL Central was idle tonight. The Reds got beat up by the Royals, 9-2 in Cincinnati. Rangers over the Cardinals, 2-1, the final there in the Lou, after the Cardinals just won the series over the Cubbies. But then the Pirates are back in action tomorrow. Pittsburgh is on the road to take on Houston. And the Cubs are back at home for the Sacramento Yolo County A's. All right. But back to here. Brewers win with 16 runs and a happy manager, by the way, wearing a Milwaukee Panthers hat for the postgame press conference. Here's Murph.
Beginning there. That's a beginning. It gets a good pitcher. That's a good sign. You know, you think about Bauer's challenge there. That started the whole thing. And then a bunch of guys, Sal swing the bat great, Vaughny doing his thing, Terang, Yelly having some good at-bats, Hamilton, wow, the way he's playing. Fun game.
You said before the game, the train kind of didn't hit into some bad luck. Did you just kind of feel like he was on the verge of breaking?
Yeah, I mean, the way he swung the bat yesterday with the 3 hard knocks that all got caught, you know what I mean? And, you know, it's just a matter of time. He's still taking his walks. They're pitching to him really, really tough. He's never hit third, you know, over and over, there's something to it, you know. So proud of him, the way he hung with it and came out big tonight. Proud of Sal, the way he swung the bat. And Hamilton's just getting better and better defensively, offensively. Churio had a couple huge at-bats for us tonight. But the pitching staff, again, you know, Drone, his first year in the big leagues, rookie, and he goes out and throws four innings. It was a good job. Patrick Hall and Anderson and Woodford, you know, throw up zeros. You know, let's not underestimate that.
Was there any specific quality to the at-bats in that 7-run inning that you saw that stood out?
Yeah, most of the hits are, you know, take what he gives me. You know what I mean? If the guy's trying to sink the ball in on your hands, you can't let that happen. You know what I mean? If that's going to happen, that you're not putting that ball in the play the right way, you're going to get in trouble. So the fact that we stayed inside those balls that were middle and didn't try to pull them, I thought it was a good plan, and that kid's good. His number's good coming into this, am I right? So this is a good team over there. They got plenty of firepower. You want to talk about a lineup. I don't know if you guys follow it, but if you do, what Schmidt's doing this year, and then rest of the guys, Dever, he's been an all-star. Arias has been an all-star. Adames has been an all-star. Chapman's been an all-star. And Eldred's kids look like he's got a huge future. Lee's only hitting 300. It's a pretty good team over there.
Murph, with those hard contacts with Hamilton recently, does it feel like he's starting to swing the bat a little bit more freely?
Yeah. I mean, he's made some adjustments. No one has been tinkered with more than Hamilton, and to see him handle it all and do what he's doing, he knows he's found a home back where he started, and he knows we believe in him, and it's showing up. He's having fun.
You kind of talked before about just needing him to stay on the ball a little longer on certain pitches.
That's right. Yeah. You know, he had a whole front side get out of there type thing going on, and he only kind of handled one pitch. Now he's starting to handle more pitches and more areas, and I mean, he's been great for us. He really has.
You mentioned Frelick there. Does that go back to, you know, just trusting, as you say, you trust your players and trusting them?
Yeah, I trust him, that's for sure. He made some adjustments. He worked. Him and Yelich took as many swings today as any humans could possibly. You know, they worked early and worked often, and yeah.
All right, let's take a lap. Every single run, all 16 of them. No, just kidding. We'll get the best highlights coming up next on 620 WTMJ.
Ready for this?
Out of here!
This?
Brought it back! Ho, ho, ho!
And this?
It is gone!
Time for tonight's highlights.
Let's go fast through these highlights. There's a lot to get through. Shane Drouin, the opener / bulk man on today's night. Up against, I should say, Landon Roop for the Giants. In fact, the Giants scored first in this game. A 2-run homer from Matt Chapman in the second inning. After that, the Brewers never looked back. It all started with a leadoff walk to Jake Bowers in the second. He got on his horse when Sal Frelick found the gap.
Frelick is lined into the right center field gap. On the run is Lee. It's over his head, and it's going to roll up against the wall. Bowers being waved around third by Matt Erickson. Here's the play at the plate. Bowers in there safely. A head first slide for Bowers. It was a close play. It was a good relay from San Francisco, but Bowers got the left hand in there, and the Brewers are on the board.
Following that, an RBI single by Luis Renjifo, then a bunt single by David Hamilton had the Brewers really in business. Runners on first and second. Yelly would draw a walk to load the bases, and Churio sent them running.
Churio 0 for 1 today. First pitch is lined down the right field line. It is a fair ball and into the corner. Renjifo is in. Hamilton is in. Stopping at third is Yelich. It is a 2-run double for Jackson Churio, and the Brewers lead it 4-2.
The very next batter, Bryce Turang, an 8-pitch battle. He doubled his first time up to break an 0-for-18 slide. He nearly sent it over the wall.
2 pitch from Roop. And a drive out to center. Racing back is Cox at the track at the wall. He jumps up. It's off the very top of the wall. It rolls all the way away from him. Yelich is in. Chirios around third. Terang into third. Standing up. It is a two-run triple. And the Brewers have broken it open here in the bottom of the second. It is 6-2 Milwaukee.
They would still add another on a sack fly from William Contreras. They would even add another 9 runs in this game. But that would be overkill to play every single highlight. How about the defensive play? You heard David Hamilton just talk about a moment ago.
The one pitch. Schmidt bloops one into shallow center field. Perkins broke back. So the second baseman, Hamilton, has to go out all the way, maybe 30 feet into center, and he made an incredible catch. Wow, David Hamilton for the second out of the inning. Sprinting back and reaching over his shoulder in shallow center field.
Great stuff there. So the Brewers score 16 unanswered. Third most runs they've ever scored in the game in which they didn't hit a homer. 16-2, the opener over the Giants today. Final lines in this contest. The Brewers had 16 runs on 18 hits. They drew 11 walks. They left 11 runners on base still. As for the Giants, 2 runs on 5 hits. They committed 1 error. They left 7 on base. They went 0 for 5 with runners in scoring position. But hey, they out-homered the Brewers, so they must have won the game. The winner is Chad Patrick out of the bullpen just throwing 1 inning because, again, the win and loss record for a pitcher is silly. The loss goes to Landon Roop. He is now 5-6, 2 hours and 43 minutes in front of 28,000 at the ballpark tonight. Now, tomorrow, revenge game brewing. Kyle Harrison gets the start against his former team. Kyle, the numbers are magnificent for what they are. 10 starts this season. He has allowed 2 or fewer in all 10 of them this season, matching a Brewers franchise record with Corbin Burns. That's some pretty good company for him. I should point out, though, as well, he did, if I'm not mistaken, he did face the Giants. No, he did not face the Giants last season. I beg your pardon. He did not face the Giants last season after he was traded to Boston. So this will be his first time facing San Francisco. Again, the team that he grew up in, the Bay Area, the East Bay, De La Salle High School, Concord, California. And he will face the Giants for the first time. And revenge game perhaps brewing. It could be interesting. It's a whole new regime over there, but still wants to beat them nonetheless. So he gets the ball tomorrow. The Giants are going to counter with a right-hander by the name of Trevor McDonald. Inexperienced, but the Brewers will face a 25-year-old making his 6th start of the season. Wednesday and Thursday are to be decided, and Wednesday is the next time you will hear from me. Bob Brainerd will be in my chair tomorrow. As you can tell, I am on the road in Philadelphia for assignments with TBS. But that is going to just about do it for our program here tonight. My thanks to Jerry Augustine. I was hoping we would get to the end of the Panther game, but what a run it's been for Milwaukee. Our producer has been Matt Yazel. I'm Dom Catronio. Keep on swinging.